London calling. David here. Dark day here, in more senses than one. Keith Baverstock is dead. Keith Baverstock was the Australian. Never fails to gut me, that simple little tense shift, that little transition from is to was. Keith was the Australian who founded London Walks over 50 years ago, who founded the oldest urban walking tour company in the world. Keith was then the torchbearer. He lit the torch, showed the way for urban walks around the world. The news came to us in a brave email from Fiona, his wife, this morning. I'm going to read her email to us. I'll read my response to her. I'm going to read a short poem with the first stanza of a poem by W.H. Auden. And then finally, I'm going to read the obituary that Fiona wrote for her husband. Her email came in this morning. Fiona says, "Hello, David. Fiona here, Keith's partner in life and business. Sorry to have to tell you that Keith passed away last Friday, having fought the good fight with his cancer. He went well until just a few weeks ago, when his health just fell off a cliff. I'm attaching an obituary he asked me to write for him, in case you'd like to share it with your podcast audience. He was a remarkable man. Kind regards, Fiona Baverstock." I wrote back, "Oh, Fiona, so sorry." Propelled, I guess, right into what I think they call that first stage denial. Keith's been so here, so legendary, so larger than life, so integral and fundamental. Not just the cornerstone, but the foundation and the inspiration to everything London Walks, and in consequence to all of our lives. And by all, I don't just mean Mary's and mine and our Sprogs and before that Ian and Pat's and theirs. I mean all of the guides and theirs. So many birds nesting in this wonderful little tree that Keith planted and grew. And beyond the guides, the literally millions of walkers, literally around the world, who've drunk, deep in many cases, pleasantly, refreshingly sipped in others, at the watering hole, the oasis he created, made happen. Keith, heroic Keith, this huge difference maker of a man, can't be gone. We've talked about him so much over the years, told the story. He's so much a huge part of us, of the good ship London Walks, with us always on the bridge and deck and in the mess. Feel for you so much, Fiona, but also for all of us. I'll put something up tonight, probably a weave of something from me and from you and the obit. Going to be not hard, but impossible for me to do your Scottish accent, or an Australian one for that matter, and get the word out now to the troops. I once read, have never forgotten, will never forget this. We die three times. We die when we die. We die when we're buried. We die the last time our name is spoken. Keith's got a whole lot of living, a long, long stretch of it ahead of him. Thinking of you, please stay in touch. Truly yours, truly, David and Mary and the rest of the London Walks family. P.S. I seem to have an instinctive, or at the very least, an inbuilt tendency to get a reading of things, get my bearings by the poem that events bring up in my mind. For what it's worth, Auden's great poem about Yeats's passing is what flooded through my mind when I opened and read your email. And that poem goes like this. It's called In Memory of W.B. Yeats. It's by W.H. Auden. He disappeared in the dead of winter. The brooks were frozen. The airports almost deserted. And snow disfigured the public statues. The mercury sank in the mouth of the dying day. What instruments we have agree the day of his death was a dark, cold day. Far from his illness, the wolves ran on through the evergreen forests. The pleasant river was untempted by the fashionable quays. By mourning tongues, the death of the poet was kept from his poems. But for him, it was his last afternoon as himself. An afternoon of nurses and rumors. The provinces of his body revolted. The squares of his mind were empty. Silence invaded the suburbs. The current of his feeling failed. He became his admirers. Now he is scattered among 100 cities and wholly given over to unfamiliar affections. To find his happiness in another kind of wood and be punished under a foreign code of conscience. The words of a dead man are modified in the guts of the living. But in the importance and noise of tomorrow, when the brokers are roaring like beasts on the floor of the bourse, and the poor have the sufferings to which they are fairly accustomed, and each in the cell of himself, is almost convinced of his freedom. A few thousand will think of this day as one thinks of a day when one did something slightly unusual. What instruments we have agree, the day of his death was a dark, cold day. And now I'm going to go over to the obituary that Fiona wrote for her husband. It goes like this. It's titled, The Measure of a Man. Babinda probably never knew that it was one of its residents was a national treasure. The man who recut the Kokoda Trail, took the very first tour groups across in the 1970s, and began Australia's obsession with tackling this historic and challenging trek. If anyone recalls the Peter Lux series, The Australians, one episode saw him take the film crew, and a party of diggers across to reminisce and place a small memorial. The man who gave the world the historic walking tour, he launched the concept in London in the 1960s, and the famous London Walks are now the template for guided walking tours of cities and towns around the world. Keith recently did a series of podcasts to be broadcast in London about his pioneering concept. The man who gave Australia whitewater rafting and other adventure travel experiences, launching the first commercial tours on the Nimboida River in New South Wales, following up with the Mitchell and Victoria, other rivers here, plus the Markham and Waltut rivers in Papua New Guinea. The man who was sir to hundreds of thousands of Aussie children who experienced his classroom's past sessions with slates, pens, ink, and strict, though tongue-in-cheek, discipline, for which he was chosen as one of 1,000 Australian national heroes for the centenary of Federation in 2001. the man who helped his partner in life and business take world-class costume exhibitions to museums and galleries around Australia and New Zealand. These acclaimed exhibitions were only brought to a halt by COVID-19 this year. He and Fiona were still researching, writing, costuming, and planning new exhibitions right up to the very final weeks of Keith's life. Keith Baverstock was the man. Keith tackled his battle with cancer as he tackled life, head on with grit and determination. He should have lasted only a few months from his diagnosis in early July 2019. Yet here he was, a year and 5 months down the track, still killing it, laddie, as we say in Scotland. The messages of love and sadness have come from around the world, from family, from friends, from people with whom he worked and some who'd known him but briefly, but all of whom he'd touched. Valet Keith, or as we'd say in Scotland, here's to ye. What's like ye, damn few, and they're all dead. The final words, though, are Keith's. They will be on his headstone. I'd rather be cruising with Fiona.